The United States of America was ultimately founded by Christians of different denominations seeking religious freedom, the first freedom listed in the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. That is the Bill of Rights. The very first freedom is religious freedom. America is sensitive to the issue of religious freedom, even in other places around the world where it's dangerous to be a Christian. Troy Miller, the president of the National Religious Broadcasters, the NRB, recently had a meeting or participated in a meeting about religious freedom, including terrible things happening in the African country of Nigeria. Troy said, quote, "Religious persecution isn't just a Christian issue. It's a human rights crisis that should pierce the heart of anyone who cares about justice and human dignity." End quote. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. Troy Miller joins us now. Troy, always a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me, Jerry. It's always great to be with you.
Sure. And tell us about this recent conclave you had with other Christian leaders to talk about anti-Christian persecution in the world.
Yeah, we had a conclave at the Museum of the Bible because this, as you know, is a growing issue almost on every continent around the world. We've seen Christian persecution on multiple countries in the African continent, on South America, Central America. China has upped its persecution of the underground church. India right now is a real hotbed. We have a number of ministries that are part of the NRB there that are very concerned about the direction that's going. And even, Jerry, even in South Korea, where we've recently had two pastors jailed for some of their comments and beliefs around supporting just biblical principles.
You know, since you mentioned that, and since the last time you and I spoke, it was after the death of Charlie Kirk. And that was a form of anti-Christian persecution when you think about it. Anyway, Bill Federer, my good friend, I'm sure your good friend too, he was there with Charlie Kirk 4 days before Charlie was killed. They were there in South Korea with that pastor, and then after they left, that pastor got arrested for opposing transgender issues. He mobilized a lot of Christians and then got in trouble for it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Got in trouble with now a very socialist and woke Korean government, one of the U.S.'s top allies in the region. And yet we see this going on, like I said, in not only in South Korea, but around the world. And Jerry, I just read an article over the weekend. There were over 1,000 church fires across Europe this year alone.
Now, usually those would be from, let's say, Muslim refugees into Europe?
Well, yeah, a lot of them have gone uninvestigated. But with the rise of Islam within Europe and the radicalization of that, now that Islam is approaching in many countries closer to a majority population, we've seen it switch from its so-called tolerance to the intolerance of any other religion in that country. But Christianity is, you know, paying the brunt of this kind of violence.
What would you say to Christian leaders who say something like, well, the Bible tells us we should expect persecution, so why are you complaining about this?
Well, I'm not really complaining about it. We're bringing up the issue and awareness. We live in a democracy today, and as you started out the program, we live in America under the First Amendment, which gives us a freedom of religion and a free exercise thereof. And we feel the same thing for people around the world. And as I said, this is not only a religious persecution issue or a Christian persecution issue. This is a human rights issue that's going on around the world. And we should care about that as Christians. Yes, we should expect the world to hate us, but that doesn't mean we stand by and let people suffer because of it.
Tell us about Nigeria.
Yeah, so I was in Nigeria in June. We were there for a Christian media conference, but we also got to meet with a number of different Nigerian leaders. And in the northern part of the country, the radical Islamic movement there, which has now grown to a super majority in that part of the country, they have been on, you couldn't call it anything more than a Christian genocide, because they have been going from town to town, village to village, in telling people you either move out now or when we come back tomorrow, you'll all be killed. And in some incidences, they haven't even given them that option. They've just gone in and murdered people in entire villages. So this is a crisis, I think, beyond any of our understanding in the modern world today.
And I understand the president of the United States, Trump, who does care about these things, he's issued warnings, but have things changed at all there?
Well, he did what we were lobbying him to do, asking him to do for quite a while now. He reinstated Nigeria as what's called a country of particular concern, which affects how the State Department and the U.S. policies now relate to Nigeria. And it, of course, affects how Nigeria gets any kind of aid funding from the U.S. The Biden administration removed that designation on Nigeria and the Trump administration. Trump is also put a lot of pressure and Secretary of State Rubio, a lot of pressure on Nigeria, the government itself, to step in and start to protect these towns and villages. But we haven't seen a lot of that happen yet.
Is part of the problem of this whole issue an apathetic press or even a hostile press, a press that's hostile to the gospel?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think it's an apathetic press as much as it is a hostile threat or press to the gospel. I think they simply don't care. Any other kind of persecution you might find around the world, if this was the LGBTQ community, if this was a different community, religious community, I think it would be all over the news. But the fact that it's a Christian community, I think there's even a hostility within the mainstream media towards this kind of reporting.
It's ironic, though, because about a month ago, Bill Maher, who's no friend of the gospel, I used to go on that show. Four times I was on that show when it was on ABC, which was, you know, wasn't with the swearing and stuff. But he's definitely hostile to the gospel, and yet he's spoken out against what's happening in Nigeria. It's like, hey, when is the world going to wake up?
Yeah, I mean, Bill Maher, and thank goodness that he did speak out and has spoken out, because it's gotten a lot of attention, him bringing up this issue. But I think, again, he doesn't look at it as simply a religious persecution issue. He looks at it for what it is. It is a human rights, and it is a human rights crisis that's going on. I mean, the last I heard, we're losing something over 50 people a day there. You know, as long as this keeps going unaddressed.
You mentioned China. Do you want to say anything more about China?
Well, here's the thing about China that's been really interesting lately. For a while, China was sort of what we would say tolerating the underground church, but that has really changed in the last few years, and China's, again, on a real crackdown in the underground church. But China has also been attacking Christianity outside of the borders of China proper, and they've done a lot of this on social media, and they really see Christianity as, I think, maybe a number one threat to the country and to the government there. So they have been doing a lot on social media to attack Christianity. There's several stories out there about Chinese funding anti-Christian efforts around the world.
That is very interesting. Why do they see, you know, you think about this, Troy, what's the essence of the Christian message? You can receive forgiveness because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for us in our place, offers heaven as a free gift. And this is a wonderful news, and it transforms people and makes them good citizens. Why would China feel this is somehow threatening?
Because the other essence of the Christian message is the fact that we were created by an eternal God, and it is as his creation, we fall under his rules and his guidelines, and that the highest authority to us is God himself and God's word. That's a direct threat to China and the government, who wants to be that highest authority in people's lives. They look at the highest authority authority is the government and the government's word. So Christianity, while the forgiveness side and being a good citizen might be good to them, the fact that they aren't the ones setting the moral laws, the ethical laws, and setting the policies that go on in that country, they look at Christianity as a threat to their power structure.
So the government is God, not Jesus, according to the Chinese leaders. So that's really kind of what you're saying. By the way, just real fast, there's a classic movie. It was the movie of the year, 1966, A Man for All Seasons, about the martyrdom of Thomas More at the hands of Henry VIII. And just before he gets executed, Thomas More gives these incredible words. He says, "Tell the king, I die his good servant, but God's first." So in other words, he's God's first servant. That's why he had to obey his conscience and couldn't follow the king in this. Since we've been talking about China, any comments about Taiwan? And are there Christian radio stations in Taiwan or ministry, broadcast ministries?
Yeah, Jerry, just to build on your point there, though, because you're exactly right. The idea that he understood that he was the king's servant, but he was God's servant first. And that's a growing problem that we see here in the U.S. as well. We see this around the world where these very secular pagan governments are looking at Christianity as a threat to their power structures, as it should be government first, then your religion, then your family, then all the other things get downhill, are downstream of the government. And that's, I think, why we've seen so much of a rise of persecution in India. I know you asked about Taiwan, but in India, for example, we've seen this really rise in Hindu nationalism that has really centered around the Hindu influence into the government and the government influence over the people, and that those two factors together have weighed in for Christian persecution that's caused a tremendous violence in the northern part of India and a lot of persecution and isolation in the southern part of India. We have several Christian television stations and radio stations there that are very concerned that they're even going to be able to renew their broadcasting licenses in the coming years. And so we see this going on. In Taiwan, there are several broadcasters that are broadcasting into China and broadcasting from other countries as well. And again, I think that's where China looks at all of that as a threat to their power structure in the world.
How about the Middle East?
You know, the Middle East right now, we have another humanitarian crisis going on in Syria with a number of different groups, the Druze, the Orthodox Christians that are there, the Alawis. There's just a number of groups there that now that Syria has fallen and the regime there is really a regime that's backed by the Muslim Brotherhood. That's the roots of this regime in ISIS. And so we've seen a tremendous amount of people that have been isolated. There's a city there and the name's escaping me. But that, you know, they were basically cut off from all food, water, and sources of supplies. It took an effort of the State Department, to finally, recognize this and step in order to get some avenues open up to there. But look, across the area, I think one of the real concerns we have is the growing influence of the Muslim Brotherhood around the Middle East and around the world. This is a major problem. So we're working hard with the administration. We would love to see, and we're fighting to see, that they are designated a terrorist group and a criminal enterprise as well, because we're seeing these groups. This is also playing out in Venezuela. We're seeing these groups that are getting now a lot of their funding through drug trafficking, human trafficking, and other criminal activities.
All right, Troy, we're basically out of time. One of your assistants wrote this: from jihadist massacres in Africa to escalating hate crimes in America, over 380 million Christians face extreme threats to their faith and lives, end quote. www.nrb.org for more information. Troy Miller, thanks so much for being with us, Troy. All the best.
Thank you, Jerry, for having me.